Praise the Lord. I think we're going to have to continue to worship just a little bit more, but Jesus. Miracles are happening all around us, and they're happening more and more, and they're escalating because of everything that's happening in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. You know, we've been praying for a couple of months for a little 4 or 5 year old Noel, and that's Bailey Plamondon's like little second cousin. She texts me, Bailey texts me this week, because, you know, the last thing that we knew was that baby was headed towards a diagnosis of cancer. And that's what they thought was deteriorating her body. But we've been praying, and she said, my cousin Noel, that we have been praying for, went to the cancer doctor and blood specialist today. And the doctors told them after doing the test that they were assured that she does not have cancer.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Praise you, Father.
Or, amen. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Or blood disease. They believe it's just an immune deficiency, and they can be built up and fixed. God is good. Father. Thank you for your prayers. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the relevance of that is that I'm hearing that. It's something's happening every day almost.
Yes, sir.
Of something wonderful, people being healed, people being restored. And so you need to know that, not that you have to have encouragement to praise him, but let's just continue to worship him.
Jesus.
Those of you at home watching or wherever you're at, let's continue to magnify God. Miracles are all around us. Hallelujah.
Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Jesus.
God, you're so good.
That is who you are. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, you're working. You're working on the miracle that I'm claiming. You're working on the miracle that they're standing on. Right now we speak to bodies, physical beings. We say the physical part of your body, the physical part of your person, I should say, in Jesus' name.
Glory.
Receive the life of God. The virtue of the Lord flow. I release the power and the virtue of Jesus Christ against the infirmity in your body. Be healed in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, those of you that are standing, and I'm talking about in faith standing for something in your body. When a prayer like that is prayed, you can receive the essence of the virtue that comes from it. As in, I'm receiving on, as in complementary faith to where I'm standing. Don't start over every time. Don't start every time that anybody prays a prayer of faith from the pulpit. Don't start from ground zero like, okay, I'm going to believe. No, if you're believing, then you've been believing. You're not starting over. You're never starting over. You're just receiving an application on top of with faith. Gary Carpenter was preaching. This has been a number of years ago. At the prayer center. And amazing, I don't know how God can do this, but you can be doing something and simultaneously have an experience with God. Jesus slipped up to his right side, and while he's exhorting, he put his finger in the Bible in a very demonstrative, assertive way, said, I want to be believed. See, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you've ever settled on your healing, then you don't ever say, well, I've got this and I've got that. You may say, I'm fighting symptoms, but you never go back. You don't even start when somebody prays a prayer of faith like this. You don't go, okay, Lord, this time. No. As long as you're talking like that, you didn't settle it back then. The prayer of faith is now, and it don't matter if it's 5 years from now. I don't, this song, I don't care what I see, what I hear, you're working. You're working. You're working. Don't ever start. If you've ever made the application, don't ever start with ground zero again. Don't ever go back to, okay, this time, okay, now I'm going to, if it ever comes out of your mouth after that, I've got. Well, that means you never did. You never did believe. Because from belief going forward, you never say, I've got this or I've got that. You say, I am standing against the lying symptoms. Because I settled it. Me and Jesus settled it. Glory be to God. That's just word preaching right there. Why don't you lift your hands and receive? We worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. We never start over again in our faith. We just keep building. We just keep building. We just keep building. We just keep building. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We release the manifestations of those things which have been speaking out of our mouth. Our bodies are healed. We receive the manifestation, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. 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 Oh, I worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, my la my soul. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, glory be to God. Hikalala mahota la hata. Oh, celebekeriya santa. Oh,
never stop.
Hey, salamakata la maso.
Never stop.
Dola bala kara sala kuto.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Hallelujah. Woo! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Feel your presence, Lord. We know your presence is here. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus.
Praise you, Father.
Hallelujah. Why don't you greet somebody, love on somebody just for a minute? We're coming through the camera right into your living room. We love you a bunch. God bless you. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Right now, before we send over the little ones, let's ask God what he'd have you to give. And those of you that are watching, thank you for your, not just your prayer support. We appreciate prayer support. We also appreciate financial support. So I'm going to pray for you, Pastor. I love that. Praise God. Would you ask him in your prayer time what he'd have you to give? Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for your life and your love and your ministry to this body financially. You're the healer. You're also the provider. You're every part of the equation. Our equation of life is multifaceted. It's not just one. So we need physical help, and then we need provisions, and the provisions must come to the people and then through the people for this church to continue to prosper and, Father, do the things that it is supposed to do. Hallelujah. And we bless them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to keep in front of you, not as to flabbergast you. I don't know if that's a word that you're familiar with. It's like, wow, really? I just want to tell you that this is not just for emotional purposes, but we're believing for about $5 million. Something like that. Okay, that'll help build, buy the 30 acres or however much the Holy Spirit is going to tell us, and then it'll put up a reasonable type. We don't care. How many of you don't care about fancy smancy as far as the building? All we care about is, remember what Jim said? We labor in revival, and then somebody's going to fight over the carpet. No, no, no. Hallelujah, Jesus. All we care about is something that looks decent and will house people for the purpose of the kingdom of God. So thank you for your giving. As sure as I'm standing here, somebody's going to come up in the days ahead with some really wonderful, wonderful gifts that will help in what we're confessing. Hallelujah. So we've added this to our Sunday night confession, and praise the Lord. Let's all stand and thank you out there for your giving. We bless you, Jesus. And if you are giving something this morning, please, Robert, would you place those out? If you miss somebody as we're giving, you can say hi to the person in the aisle next to you. We love you at home. Hallelujah. And Marty, just give us a little bit more. Let's just worship. Just let everybody kind of get settled down. Because I'll tell you, you're going to need to put your thinking cap on. You're not going to be able to move around much this morning, or you're not going to, if you don't pay attention, you won't learn this morning, because we're not, this is not so deep that you can't receive, but it's new ground. It's going to be new territory for some of you. It's not anything that you haven't heard before, but just in the way in which it'll be presented, if you don't stay focused, you won't learn. So I like to learn when I come to the house of God. So let's worship a little bit, Marty. Let's others that are coming in or going out and eating with the kids to just worship, to get settled. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We'll have worship tonight. We've been doing things a little different. On Sunday nights, we're worshiping for an hour. And then Gay is coming to lead us in calling in the lost and confessions. So it just has sparked a renewal of strength and life in that. So stretch your faith this way. And those of you watching, pray for me. Father, I love you. I thank you for all of the people that are here and all of our family that's watching and part of this church today. Lord, we bless them. We bless this moment. We bless this hour. Holy Spirit, you are the spiritual guide to lead and to guide us into all truth. And of course, the Word of God is truth. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to share this morning. This is Exchanging Delegates, Part 1. I thought that when I started to put all this together and I could hear the Lord and all the things started coming forward in it, that I would be able to teach this in one lesson, and then it became quite evident that anything of this magnitude cannot be taught in one lesson, maybe two, maybe three, I don't know. But remember this, and this is for all of you teachers, and there's teachers among us, and there's teachers that will become part of this church that will. You never, ever teach, and I'm still in the learning process, but you never teach past the level of saturation. In other words, if people are getting it. And you can't, that doesn't mean that everybody in the room has to get it. Everybody's at a different level. Some people don't study the Word of God. Some people have heard the Word, but they don't even try to go into it. So it doesn't matter how slow you went. You could go slow as molasses, and they would never really get it all, because they're just not spiritually aptitude. They don't have a spiritual aptitude. One thing I'll tell you that really will help you, even if something is new to you in the Word of God, if you're praying in tongues a lot or on a continual basis, you have a born-again spirit that has it has an aptitude of learning and understanding. It can be your spirit can also be taught false doctrine. Somebody said, well, no, my spirit will never receive it. No, filthiness of spirit is unsound doctrine. And doesn't mean they're going to hell, but a Baptist that believes that you cannot speak in tongues, they believe it all the way to their core. They believe it all the way to their spirit. And it's unsound in them. It's not filthiness of flesh. It's filthiness of spirit. But praying in tongues will make you, even if you haven't heard something before, it'll boost. You have a a spirit that can be taught. I mean, from the get-go, even without being spirit-filled, once you begin to read the Word, your spirit can be taught. But it also can be taught wrong things based on your teacher. Your teacher is the Holy Spirit, but if you attend a church that overrides your teacher, you'll start believing the teacher that is teaching you from the pulpit, and he'll override the teacher inside. And you'll go with the teacher if you stay long enough in churches that you should not, by the way, that those are you that are listening. But praying in tongues will boost your spiritual aptitude. It'll even like, oh, I haven't never heard that before, but boy, I can see that. It starts putting all the pieces of the puzzle together, and all the dots will begin to be connected based on your ability to receive. So I'm saying all that to say I'm going to try. I'm preaching to myself right now to say go slow or go as slow as necessary. It's fun to watch. Not really. It's not really fun to watch, but it's when you see somebody that doesn't get to teach a lot, if I invite somebody or this, that, and the other, it's hard for a teacher that has a lot to say not to say at all at one time. Sometimes I can see messages weeks in advance, and you have to hold, you can't pull the trigger because you can't give that point until all these other things are basically have been spoken, understood, and saturation takes place. Somebody said, well, if you get up ever as a teacher and you speak for a good long time and you say, whew, I got that out of my system. That was a great revelation, and it might have been. But if you go, you know, a long, excessive amount of time, the human mind, except for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, can only receive a certain amount. So after the first hour, maybe hour and 15, you might have got everything out, but their brain couldn't hold it anymore. So saying all that, we'll jump off into this and just believe God. And it's like I said, it's not beyond where things that you've heard, but maybe in the sequential order by which it's being given. So let's talk about a delegate, because before we can get to next week's or the week thereafter, we need to establish some things. Well, there's a number of different definitions by Webster, but I like this one particular: to appoint as one's representative, just simply. As to appoint as one's representative. You know, the delegates, now this is not necessarily a great example because there's so many other things that could miscue this. But when they have the Republican or Democratic, this is not politics, national conventions. Madam Chairman, we from the great state of Florida, Georgia, Alabama, or Oklahoma, we cast our votes. And like I said, there's most of the time there's designated or obligated, and then some can go rogue and do what they want to do. But a real delegate represents the party that sent them, or the state, or the country. Everybody with me so far? Jesus, now we're going to talk about Jesus in his coming and who he was for a bit. So let's talk about Jesus. Somebody said, well, I know Jesus. Well, that's wonderful. And we're wanting you to know him in a place beyond anything that you've ever known him. First, in intimacy. You can know him in intimacy before you totally understand him. But understanding him also will add to your intimacy as in believing for what you're believing for, as in revival, as in healing of your body, standing after the first initial prayer and continuing to stand. So we want to see him as a delegate first in who he is. And let's talk about who he is. Well, somebody said, I know him. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. Okay, and that's all correct answers. But I will tell you this. Jesus is the most unique person in the universe. And I will, when I say a person, I'm also including, in all due respect, the person of God. As in God being a person, Jesus is, of all persons, the most unique of anyone, including God himself. You say, distinguish that? Now, just give me a listen. Let's consider for just a moment the Godhead. And the Godhead is what is commonly called the Trinity. There's not that biblical word, Trinity, but there is the word Godhead. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. I hope you've got your Biblica, or I hope you've got your smart device or your paper device. Follow along with me. Once we get to a place and we read a scripture, please continue to follow along with me and don't begin to study. Every part that you read is applicable to the next verse, obviously, and there's always a temptation to begin to study in church. Mark it down and study later. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, and I'll just read it. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. Okay, let's just leave off for just a moment. This is one of very many, many, many Trinity scriptures. Again, that word Trinity is not in the Word, but it is one of very many Godhead, meaning there are three persons to the Godhead, meaning one God. Somebody says, I don't understand all that. Do you understand? I don't understand it all, but I can teach it from the Word of God. You don't understand if you try to figure out how could there be an infinite God that never, ever did not exist. He has always existed. For us as humans, because our minds are finite, we put a beginning and an end to all things. If you try to figure out, well, as far back as you can go, God was there. And as far back as you can go, as in numeral estimation or saying things, you know, whatever numbers you could, God was before that. And he was way before that. And he was way before that. So there's never a moment in which God did not exist and as God. And so my question to him when I get there, I would love to sit down with at least one part of the Trinity and say, can I ask you something? You know, what were you doing prior to our creation? I know you weren't just twiddling your thumbs, but could you? And he may laugh, but my Father in heaven, he's a good daddy, and so he sees all the questions of our heart. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, and these three are, they're absolutely one. They're in unity. They are, so this one God, hear, O Israel, that's one of the first commandments, that is the first commandment, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And so we don't have three gods, but we have one God existing in three persons. And that fancy anthropomorphism word, which means nothing to you, that 16-cylinder word, means that God takes human attributes and explains himself through a parabolistic type way of saying, this is the closest you can ever, while you're living in an earth suit, know who I am. I'm kind of like this. I am a father. I am now an existing son in heaven, and I am the Holy Spirit. But somebody said, will we see any of those separated persons of the Godhead? Well, obviously so, and we won't go into the scripture on that. But the visual, the actual visual, we have visual presentations in the Word of God. Revelations 4 and 5 is just loaded with those visual presentations. You do see an actual figure sitting on the throne, which is designated. God designates himself as Father. And so you see that. Then you see, and the Word says that there was one seated at the right hand of the Father. And you will see, once you get to heaven, you will see an actual throne of the Father. You will see on the right hand of that throne another throne seated, and that is the right hand of God, which is the throne of the one that we call the Lamb. So you know you have those two visuals. The Holy Spirit, I can't find anything in Revelation. If you find something, I can't find anything in the Word of God that tells us. If you find something, it'll be very vague. Oh, I've got something, Pastor, wonderful, but I don't think you can build a doctrine on it, because you'd have to have numerous scriptures. I can't find anything where you actually see the Holy Spirit. It's possible. I do know this, that if God is God, then all three, then all members, persons of the Godhead, are all God. Well, in other words, they're deity. And deity is made up of, and I'm not going to go into all those, but there are at least nine immutable attributes in which make up the essence of who God is, or make up deity. So if you're Holy Ghost, you have all nine attributes as the Father does. If you're Father, then you have all nine attributes as the Logos does. If you are the Logos, or were the Logos, him being in heaven prior to his incarnation, he had all the attributes. He could be at every place at once. Even though you could see him, he could be at every place at once. Isn't that amazing? Well, that's amazing. Well, that's God. That's who God is. You can see him, but he can still be in spirit form every place at once. Is everybody still with me? Because if you're not, I got to go a little bit slower. So here's where the Jesus that I'm talking about, the one that came to earth, is so unique, because we have to, before we can ever get to appreciate all of everything that there is about him, to be called a delegate that I'm using, and that's not a scriptural term. I'm using it as in something that we can understand. We have to understand this about Jesus, how incredibly unique he is, as even in relationship to the other two members of the Godhead. Now, this uniqueness came into effect as he became a man. Father, we'll say this, Father God is just who he is, which is almighty, having all these attributes, but he's all deity. Okay? Is everybody still with me? He's all deity. Holy Spirit is what? He's all deity. Complete. All deity. Angels, they are what? All angel substance. They're not deity, but they are spirits, but they're angel substance. They're not deity. They were created by deity. Human beings, we're just human beings. Now, we have spirits, but our spirits inside of us are not deity spirits. They're human spirits. There's three types of spirits, as you might already understand, or the three type of spirit substance. There's deity spirit, which is Holy Ghost. There's human spirit, which is not, it's a spirit, but it's not deity. In other words, it's not God. And then there's angels, which they're spirits, and they are not God, but they are, I don't know what angel substance is made out of. It's made out of angel substance, you know. And so what do angels eat? Angel food, I guess. Yeah. So, but Jesus, let's just talk about Jesus. Jesus is in a category of his own in regards to being unique. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Because you're going to be graded on this. Matthew and Luke, that we're not going to turn there. Matthew and Luke, they give the human record or the record of Jesus coming in his humanity. If you read Matthew and Luke, they are really thorough about giving the backdrop of the lineage of Jesus as in coming through humanity. Mark is quiet on that subject. He really doesn't say anything. He starts out with Jesus and John well into their going and their doing. But John is incredible. John describes Jesus' coming in his deity and also in a combination of his humanity. Now turn with me to John chapter 1. Let's talk about this unique delegate called Jesus the Christ. By the way, I know that you know that his last name is not Christ. He's not, Joseph's last name was not Christ, so he's not Jesus. They named him Jesus. Jesus Christ. I'm Gary Flint or Bronk Flint. That's my last name. Christ is not his last name. Christ is the word Messiah. It is the sent one. So Jesus was the Christ. So we understand who he is in another fashion there. Jesus is in a category of his own and regarding being unique. Now, John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1. In the beginning, John starts out with his deity. In the beginning was the Word, that's the Logos, which is this one that we're talking about, who eventually becomes Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Who? This one that we call now Jesus. We say the second member of the Godhead. All things were made by him, and without him, without this one we call the Christ, was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Now here we begin to talk about things that happened also in his humanity. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 14:1-14 says this, if you skip down in that same chapter, and the Word, that Word that we're talking about now, was made flesh. In other words, it came in, the second member of the Godhead came into a body. Jesus, how did you get down in that weedy bitty bitty seed? Hallelujah. You need to see the movie Ant-Man. You know, he said he saw it. The microscopic world is as large in microscope as this world here. That's another story. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Oh, we're going to talk about why does Jesus have the distinguished as, because I'm begotten. And you're begotten. And we're going to show you scripture on that, but next week. But Jesus has the distinguished title of the only begotten. Can you tell me the reason why he has that? Yes, I can, but we'll get to that next week. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten. John has to distinguish that. Of the Father, full of grace and, of course, full of truth. Now, having read that, let me just read this, and then we'll go right back to John in the Amplified. But here's the preeminence of Christ. It said, by him were all things created. Colossians 1:15 says this, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Now, I can tell you, I'll do the homework for you. This is talking about Christ. For by him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. In heaven, all things that are in heaven. In other words, all the angels, the seraphims, the cherubims, Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer, prior to, there's so much in that story of the fall of Lucifer and the pride and the jealousy. We'll teach as God wills on another time. But he was not only aspiring for the throne as in the Most High. There were things that we can't speak specifically on right now, because anything we give, we want to give according to the Word of God. But he was created by the second member of the Godhead. That was his creator. All things came out of him. Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer, before his fall. It came out of the substance, the very being of, well, they're all God. I know, but in God's economy, God says, this part of me, this person of me, was the one that created all things. All things come out of him. Isn't that amazing? In heaven and in earth, not only was this plastic or carpet or human beings or animals, all of creation and angels. Now, the only thing that did not come out of him was God himself, the Holy Spirit and the Father, because they simultaneously all existed as one. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible or invisible, meaning I can't see angels, I can't see demonic spirits. The devil did not create demonic spirits. If demonic spirits came into existence, there's something that they are fallen. They are angels that fail. Somebody said, well, no, we want to go into that. Another can of worms. Whether they be thrones, and he names them, dominions, principalities, or powers, or things that are were created, all things were created by him and for him. That's Christ, the second member of the Godhead. And he is before all things, and by him where all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for your preeminence. You're the Lord. So going back to maybe where you're still at in John chapter 1, verse 4, let's talk again about in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Because it's talking about, John is talking about his deity, and then he kind of switches just for a moment and gives us an insight into what happened to him or who he is in person. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is what the Amplified says concerning John 1 through 4. In the beginning, this is Amplified, meaning it's more of a, it takes the Greek and amplifies it out into more of a terms in which we can appreciate. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. Is there any doubt about the Word being deity? No doubt. Hallelujah. He was presently, originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. Not one thing. In him, John says, was life, and the life was the light of men. And later in chapter 5, John says this, for as the Father hath life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The Father, now just listen to me, please. The Father gave his Son in his humanity spiritual life. In his humanity spiritual life. You don't have to give life to deity. In other words, the Father did not have to give life to to Christ, the deity part of him. That life that was the light of men came from the Father and exemplified who God was, but it was shown through the born-again Spirit. And that life came to his humanity. You don't have to give life to deity. We understand that life to mean the born-again or born of God's Spirit. When I say it's easy, if I don't watch it, I'll trip up myself by saying Jesus is born again spirit. He did not have a born again spirit at birth. That would imply that it was dead and then it came to life. He was born with life. There was never, if you ever think that Jesus was dead at birth and then was born of God, then you're saying that he was selected from a genetic gene pool of spiritual death. And you can't get, as Dave says, a Messiah from a genetically dead gene pool. Jesus had to come, and we've got much to say, and maybe in time to come on this. The Father gave his Son in his humanity spiritual life. You don't have to give life to deity. We understand life to mean the born again or born of God's Spirit, which Jesus had. The life in Christ that was the light of men was the born of God Spirit. In other words, we'll call that our born again spirits, right? Now, this part you have to get, and you have to always understand this, because this will have practical application in your prayer life and in us where we're going, as in teaching today, next week, and time to come. Remember that, with asterisk, with all caps, with highlighted, remember that the redemption of mankind had to involve a Savior made up of both God and man. I'm going to say that again. Tune me in. You did. You're doing good. Remember that redemption of mankind had to involve a Savior made up of both God and man. Okay. Only one or the other would not do. It had to be both. In other words, the Messiah had to be both God and man. God had to become a man, and a sinless man had to come into existence. God had to become a man, and a sinless man had to come into existence. You do know, I know that you know this. I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'll get to my notes. But you do know Jesus, the man, did not exist in heaven prior to coming to earth. His body did not pre-exist, nor did his human spirit pre-exist. He only existed as in deity, as the Logos. So this one that we call the Christ, he actually was created, part of his being was created here on this earth. He came into existence, just like you and I come into existence. So, I think we're going together, aren't we? Hallelujah. Remember that redemption of mankind had to involve a Savior made up of both God and man. God had to become a man. That delegate from there had to become a man. And a sinless man had to come into existence or into being, and that's the part of his humanity. God could not redeem mankind by himself. No member of the Godhead could have come to earth in his deity alone and done anything to redeem man from the Genesis 3 fall. You remember Genesis 3, don't you? That's where Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, and they died spiritually, and that's a whole nother teaching. I hope you're listening to Gary's messages. He's been doing some awesome teaching on that. But they died spiritually because Adam misjudged truth. He believed in what he saw. He believed in what he could experience with all the natural senses. And so he misjudged what true truth was, what the truth was, and in essence declared God a liar, and the tempter, Lucifer, Satan, to be true in that Eve did not die when she ate of the fruit, but she did die. She died immediately. She died immediately. But you can't see spiritual death on the inside of someone. You can see physical death. But so he judged and said she didn't die. So I'll eat also. He was right there because the Bible says she took of the fruit and gave it to Adam and he ate. What? Man, I know heaven is a place where there's no flesh. But if there's an inkling, if part of my glorified toe still has a little flesh in it, I'm going to punch Adam right in the nose. Because all of this was based on a decision that God doesn't tell the truth. Glory. So our decision to believe that God does tell the truth. That was, as Gary said, it was the way out of the garden, believing that God didn't tell the truth. The way back into the garden is to believe this. So man falls, and as a result of it, we know that God has to get into the earth, but no member of the Godhead just could come down and do it without becoming man. Colossians 15, 20 through 22, I'll just read that. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those of them that slept. For since by man came death, that's the fall that I just talked about. A man did that. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. In other words, coming out of spiritual death. In other words, you did it, man. It's got to be redeemed by a man. So God coming down like, I'm deity and how would you ever just put deity and make him die on a cross? But God did die. In this sense of the word, he died with Christ, or he went along with Christ on the cross. Hallelujah. That's teaching for another time. Again, the word says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now listen to me, and you're doing a good job. That's why I can get so far. The first Adam, human being, lost the life of God for the entire human race. I won't get to punch him because I'll be all sanctified and everything. Yeah. The last Adam, which was Christ, being a human being, Jesus the Christ, as I said, remember, Christ is not his last name, he's Jesus the Christ, but you can say Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ regained life for the entire human race, for those who will accept his sacrifice. Now don't become one that just believes in inclusion, that a price was paid, now all the human race is saved. That's a lie. You have to accept that sacrifice. But for anyone that does accept it, they become a son of God or a daughter of God. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Always remember this. Now, nobody's going to slap your hands, or nobody's going to put a tape on your mouth, or nobody's going to correct you out and out unless you know what you're doing. Then Jesus is not the second Adam. It doesn't say he's the second Adam. If you say Jesus is the second Adam, you're implying that there could be, though you don't mean it, there could be a third and a fourth. He is the last Adam. There's the first Adam, and then there's the last Adam. Jesus is the end of all, and he becomes a new race, and we become part of the genetics of that new race. Okay? So there's not Adam 1, Adam 2. No. Sorry, that's maybe a Freudian slip on your thought process, but let me educate you. There's not a second Adam. There's a last Adam. That's the end. Zeroed out. It's all. It's done. That race is over and a new race has begun. Neither could God simply give a created man the life of God to live a sinless life without his God involvement to redeem us back to him. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you how unique this one Jesus is. I'm trying to describe how incredibly unique he is. God is, the Father is just, and I say this in all due respect, he's pure deity. Holy Ghost, pure deity. Angel, just pure angel. Humanity, we're just this person, Jesus. Wow. He's amazing. God could not, it took this involvement of God and man. And we'll read scripture on that in just a moment. God couldn't even come down and do the same thing he did with Mary, overshadow her, and the Holy Spirit impregnate her, and give a life nature to a human being, and then that human being come up and live a sinless life and die for humanity, and humanity be redeemed back to God. That wouldn't have even worked. It took the combination. Everybody say with me. It took. Combination of deity and humanity to redeem us back to God. Well, you're quick learners. You guys are wonderful. Jesus, the man, had a beginning on earth. His body and his human spirit came into existence. And as I said before, his human spirit, I know that you believe this, but I got to reiterate it. You're not like the Mormons, right? You're not. The Mormons believe. Now, I've studied them, and that was part of my cult class in college. But they actually, they're probably too embarrassed. You could bring this up the next time they come. No, don't do that. Because that, just use the Holy Spirit to witness to them. The best thing to do is to, if you get a word of knowledge, pray over their bodies. Get a word of knowledge, pray over their aunt that's sick in the hospital, or you've got somebody that you need prayer for. Because arguments won't help. They're embarrassed about these archives. But the archives way back would say that there is a physical Father God and a spiritual Mother God, and they are creating spirit beings through their, you know, through their whatever, and through their bedroom experience. And then these little babies are being created, spirit babies, and they are being sent down. When humans conceive, you get one of these spirit babies. What a lie. What a lie. Anybody that has, any prophet that ever has these visions like, I saw heaven. No, you did not. You're a liar. You're either trying to make up a lie to gain attention, or there's a demon involved and you're following the devil. Babies are not created in heaven. To start with, if babies are created in heaven, I'm done with this one that I call the Lord. Because you mean to tell me that he makes a decision? God makes no decisions on the genetics. Somebody said, well, thank God that I was born in Florida. Thank God that I'm a cracker. Thank God that I'm a this, or I thank God that I'm a this, or I thank God that I'm a handsome brown young man like Arnold. You know what? God had nothing to do with that. Zero. He had absolute. You weren't some kind of selective measure that God said, okay, I'm going to. That we're going to teach on that. The law of Genesis, we'll do that next week. But all conception and all selection of where you're born, and that has nothing to do. God just totally stays completely out of all that. That all has, why, for one, how do you know that, Pastor? Multiple different scriptures, but besides for that, you're going to tell me that God is going to send a spirit from heaven down into a little, he's going to select it and say, that spirit is going to inhabit a little mongoloid or a crippled or a, they don't have, you know, I look at St. Jude's, I'm trying to eat. And then St. Jude's comes on. And I'm like, put it, now I start crying again. And I've seen it 10 times. These adorable blankets, or that's Shriners. But St. Jude gets me too. You're going to tell me that God had anything to do with that? In selecting to say, okay, I'm saving that spirit to put in that body down there. Shame on you. Shame on you. That you'd believe that my father would have anything to do with putting spirits in bodies crippled, that he had something to do with that. Shame on you. You ought to repent for it. But here's the wonderful mystery. God had to be involved. Why did God have to be involved? Because God takes responsibility for his creation even before he created it. He creates man seeing, he created man seeing the fall in advance. He then obligates himself as the creator to redeem man back to himself, even before there's men. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Read this with me. You follow along with me. This is a great mystery. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful mystery. Why did God figure on, I got to be part of this redemption? Because he created us and obligated himself from the get-go to be part of that which was going to fall, knowing it was going to fall. Paul says in Ephesians 1:1, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Okay, here it comes and here we go. According as he has chosen us in him, in Christ. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Oh, glory to God. This is God's obligating himself from the very beginning. What does that tell us? What does this scripture tell us, Pastor? What you just read. Before the foundation of the world, do you know that God, you understand God sees everything and knows everything. Some people have a hard time with that because they don't understand that just because God knows something, they think that just his knowledge makes him part and partisan to it. In other words, he's having something. No, you can see, you can look into the future, but that doesn't mean that you were the one that did it. Somebody said, well, he saw it. Yeah, he saw it. But that doesn't mean that he created it or made it happen or put the pieces of the puzzle together so that they would touch each other and the dots would connect and eventually that would take place. God didn't do that. Well, he saw before. Now, I'm going to put it in very simplistic terms, and this is way their knowledge being God, triune God, is so far beyond their communication. There would be no way for me to explain it. But in their infinite glory, in his infinite glory, he decides, we'll say one day, again, there's no day or night with him. One day he decides, I'd like to make man. I want to make man. Well, he also sees, it says before the foundation. The word there is before the foundation is before creation or before he sets into existence. Again, he has a thought, I'm going to put, I'd like to create human beings. Because I'd like communion. I'd like to be their father. But I see immediately, even as I'm about to create them, or even before I create them, they are going to fall. They are going to fall. I see Lucifer approaching them. I see the fall. I see the garden. I see everything before the fount. The word tells us here. I love the way that Paul puts this. It says, according as he has chosen us in him, that's Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In other words, he provided a savior to himself, which was Christ the Lord, the second member of the Godhead. They had this whole discussion. Might have been a billion years before we ever came into existence. I don't know how long they decided. But before the foundation, that means, what is that? Before the foundation, that's the word cosmos. It's the word understanding. It is the planetariums, the universe. Before he set all of this in order, before he ever said light be, he had a plan in effect to redeem us back to him. He saw the fall. He saw us being messed up, but he had a plan, and he predestined all of humanity to be redeemed back into God through this one that he would provide, which was Jesus the Christ. And he said, I will provide this even before the fall. I'll give this to you. Hallelujah. How wonderful is our God? How perfect is our God? Well, he saw it. Yes, he did, but that doesn't mean that he had anything to do with it except making a provision for it. So before the foundation of the world, we're redeemed, or we have in the heart of God, we have the access. Having predestinated us, verse 5 says, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, you're doing real good. Stay with me. Imagine that God is speaking. Listen to this, just based on what we just read. Imagine that God is speaking the universe into existence. And it is with a plan already intact of a crucified Christ. Before the worlds were ever created, there was already a plan in place for a crucified Christ. The second member of the Godhead who would come in the person of Christ, he was the one creating. He was the one creating with crucifixion and death in mind. Is everybody still with me? The second member of the one of Godhead, Colossians tells us, for him, by him, all things were created. John says not one little thing was created without him. I like this. Creation, please, stay with me. Creation was created under a crucified Christ. It was created under the auspices, the planets, the moon, the stars, the earth, man. It was created under the auspices or the office of a crucified Christ. This Christ was already in the heart of God crucified. Hallelujah. Amen. God, now this next section, and I hope we can get through it, is God does not act like God. Now turn with me to Philippians 2, verse 5. Glory be to God. Are you learning something? I hope, and I hope we're learning together. Maybe it's something you already know, but maybe the Holy Spirit will speak and bring something to nuance that you have not understood completely before. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and following. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Remember, we're trying to describe to you the uniqueness of this God-man. It could not be just God coming, neither could it have been just an anointed man that lived a sinless life. It had to be this incredible combination of both. Now, the Amplified, and just listen to to what we just read. This is describing Christ, and this is, again, under this section of God doesn't act like God. And we're talking about the second member of the Godhead, the deity part of Christ. And the Amplified says in verse 5, you'll just listen, "Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God," and in parentheses, "possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God, God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained." In other words, he didn't try to hang on to it. "But stripped," look at this, or listen to this, "but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant," slave, in parentheses, "in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme death, even the death of the cross." God, the Word, laid down the privilege to act like God. Now, this is amazing. That does not mean, listen, that does not mean, here's the uniqueness of it. Here's the amazing part. This blows my mind. It blows my spiritual mind. It's like, wow, how do you do this? How do you, first of all, I don't know how you created all the universe under the knowing that you're creating something that you're going to have to go and you know, you're talking about an investment. God had an investment in his creation. He's like, I'm not going to create this and step back. Oh, I'm going to have to go and die or become a human and die. It's incredible. But God, the Word, laid down the privilege to act as God. That does not mean that he ceased to exist as deity. It simply means that he would no longer function as God while living in a human body. How do you do that? I don't know. How do you be full God, as in deity, but before he came in his deity, he made a deal with himself. When I get there and am a human being, and part and partisan with a human being, I promise to myself, or I agree with myself, I'll never use my deity attributes to redeem man. Well, redeeming man has everything to do with a lot of different things. It's not just the death of the cross, it's the death all the way up. It's the mortification. It's the life lived out of a born of God's Spirit. For him, and we've talked about this so many different times, for him to have lived out of his deity as God in the flesh to conquer sin, that's an injustice for us. For him to heal bodies out of his deity, that's an injustice to us. Why resist sin to the point that we resist sin if we think that he lived a sinless life through his deity? Because you're God. You can do that. You can't make God sin. God's incapable of sin. But he didn't live out of his Godship. He lived out of his humanity. So any thought of a young lady, any thought of stealing, any thought of lying, any thought of anger, anything, he resisted that and said no to it on the same. It's been road tested, people. This life in us it's been road tested. You can kick the tires on this. The one that went before me lived sinless based on the same attributes or the same. He had He had no more, no less than what you and I have got. He resisted sin. You say, well, that's God did. No. That was Jesus, the man that resisted sin. And that was Jesus, the man that healed sick bodies through the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't step into his deity and say, well, this was a tough one. God, me? You spoke everything into existence. God, me, heal that. No. I can see we're not going to get to the where I'd least like to get to today was Hebrews chapter 4. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. All points tempted as we are. We usually put that in a moral sense of the word, like he was tempted to look more than once. He was tempted to think wrong things. But listen, he was tempted at every... You don't think he wasn't tempted with doubt? How many of you ever start to lay your hands on somebody, friend, not just pastor, will you pray for me? I am so sick today. And the moment you start to pray, doubt starts coming up in the form of thoughts like, man, I hadn't been getting none of my prayers answered lately and they want me to pray for them. Or how many people are really getting, okay, I'll pray for you. All this generation of doubt starts coming up. All points tempted as like we are. You don't think Jesus didn't start getting a scratchy throat a little bit sometimes and say, No. I don't think he held a temperature, but I think that he could feel it coming on. All points tempted not being tempted as in the word. The word doesn't mean just as in a preeminence or a pretense towards sin. It also means a test, trial, or tribulation as in what could be presented to you. All those things. If you say, no, he could never ever have just even like, he can never even feel the symptom of a scratchy throat or anything like that. You're saying he had a supernatural body that could not ever feel. Now, I believe the moment it came, he would say, uh-uh. I don't believe he walked around with a day with a temperature. But in all points, he would start to pray for somebody. And you don't think that the temptation to doubt was there? I don't know. I know God is God. The Holy Ghost has healed everybody through me so far. But this time, I might have egg on my face this time. Everything that we go through, he was tempted with. Which also means doubt. He did not cease to be deity. But here's the miracle. He wouldn't act like deity. You had to have the combination of both. Again, redemption is a God-man thing. Hallelujah. Jesus is so unique. Let me skim this because we got 5 minutes. And then we'll go back to it. We'll go back to this next week because we're talking about the uniqueness of Jesus, in particular about his body. One, here's his uniqueness. One, in his body, now this is similar to us. In his body existed a born of God human spirit. Okay, we've got that, right? That's what we are. We've got a spirit. Okay, my human spirit is not the spirit of God. You understand that? That's the Holy Ghost is, when the word says he that's joined to the Lord is one with the Lord, that means that we have been intersected by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you become the Lord, and it doesn't mean you become deity. You don't have just a, and I don't know how all this, but you don't have just you haven't become deity. That's the best way for me to say it, okay? You have a separate human spirit. We'll get into it next week. When Jesus was conceived, I can see this is going to take longer. Jesus had to have a human spirit, and the human spirit came into effect. Let me tell you, let me run to the end. I don't think we're going to get to this next week, but let me tell you some of the places. Don't let me lose that place. So I'll have to be searching for it, and you'll be saying, oh, it's going past lunchtime. Where we really, you know, here's where we want to get to. We want to get to the law of Genesis and really explain that. and what is spiritual DNA. What is real? We want to talk about the law of sin passed through conception. How's the law of sin and death passed? It's passed through conception. We'll talk about the miracle of Jesus. Ooh, this is one part I want to get to. The miracle of Jesus was not just in his body. The miracle of Jesus was the great, I call it the great disconnect. The great disconnect. God actually had to unravel or disconnect the law of the spirit of death at the conception of Jesus for spiritual life to be passed on to Christ. I'm just teasing you right now, but we'll cover that in thorough. But here's in thoroughness. One, Jesus had a body just like you and I. And one body existed, a born of God. We don't say born again spirit. This spirit was always in it. He was always had life in him. Two, a born of God human spirit that is baptized in the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Now, that's still us, right? We've got a human spirit, and that human spirit will then have a baptism. We can get born again, but born again happens to you. That comes from God, but that's your born again person. That's a human being, 1 Corinthians 5:17, being recreated. You don't become deity. You just, what you already had was already in existence, but now you get a entirely new one. You already had a human spirit. In other words, if I dropped dead, if I wasn't saved, and you could see me step out of my body, just because I became a Christian doesn't mean I got a spirit. I always had a. Everybody's born with a spirit. All human beings. That's kind of a God part of you, because once you are created by mom and dad, you not only get a physical body, but at the moment of that conception, the moment that, and I don't need to explain it, but the egg and the seed come together from the man. And I can prove this by the word, but cellularly, you become a human being. And what makes you a human being is a spirit. It's a spirit. You become a human spirit. That's why abortion is wrong. Not 5 days later, not when there's a heartbeat. It's wrong if it was 2 seconds after those. After there's a conception, and there's a real conception, you know, an egg or a spora by themselves are neither one a human being, but once they come together and there's a real conception, that's a human being. And the microsecond that it comes into existence, that they join, not a little bit after, simultaneously, there's a spirit that begins to multiply, as Dave would say, cellularly, spiritual cellularly, cell by cell. That's why you can eat your hamburgers this afternoon and not be a murderer, because cows don't have spirits. That's why I can go and hunt, because they don't have spirits. If you come to my house, you'll see that. I have a problem with that. Okay, well, don't come to my house. They don't have spirits. Well, I saw a vision where Ruffy was running through heaven, and Fluffy was right beside him, and they were running through. No, you did not. Fluffy doesn't exist anymore. Well, God told me she does. No, you created that. How to get there? I'm almost done. But human beings have a human spirit. Dogs and animals, they're like a rock when they die. They're just like a tree. There's nothing. It's over. They're two parts, body and soul. Now, they do have a soul. They're very emotional. You can love them. I cried when my big dog died, my hunting dog, after 12 years. Yeah, you can get attached to them. But they're just They're dirt then. But you have a spirit. But here's the thing. This is the difference with the uniqueness of Jesus. The Godhead person of the word deity was living in the same body. That's the difference with him. I have a human spirit that's baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I don't have Jesus had deity separate from all that. He was God in the flesh. Hallelujah. And it took all of that to redeem us back to God. Hallelujah. I really wanted to give you, listen, when you start seeing this, you're going to have so much confidence in your prayer life, you're just going to be wondering why in the world. So let's all stand. Hallelujah. We got about a third of the way. Maybe. Glory. Hallelujah. Good students. Amen. Amen. But this high priest that's in heaven, glory to God. I like to say it like this. Heaven sent us a delegate, and the earth sent a delegate back to heaven. And we're going to talk more about that next week. Father, we worship you. We love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory and praise. Kingdom of God come. Would you just lift your hands and magnify him? Robert, step up there for just a moment. As I said last week, we're not in, you know, Candy's over there next door, so I'm not too scared, although I might be better. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him for just a moment. Stay with us that are watching. We worship you, Jesus. If you missed last week, not hearing the end of seven things that revival will never replace, it's up on the website. Or it's on YouTube, and there's something that's going on the website that needs to be fixed. It actually will show up as another, if you go to that message. Go back, go to YouTube and watch that. It's a very important message, very, very important message. But right now, let's just worship God before we go out of here. We magnify you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Lead us, Robert. Give us a song to sing before the Lord before we leave. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing it out.
In all of you, Jesus, Lord, I stand in all of you, Jesus, Lord, I stand alone in all of you.
Hallelujah.
There's none like you.
Hallelujah.
There is.
If a friend has asked you to watch this, or somebody that you know or a family member, and you're not familiar with these services, and or maybe you are, you're just starting to watch us, and there's something inside of you that says, I need Jesus. Maybe you're in here this morning. You're not committed entirely. I'm going to say a simple prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. The Bible says if we will believe in our heart, not with our head, but believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, you make a commitment, just like God made a commitment to come to the earth when he created the earth or prior to his creation. You make a commitment that I'll serve God. I'm tired of what I'm doing. And I'm tired of the life that I'm living. I'm going to pray for you just now. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch their hearts. May the scales come off their eyes. I pray that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ will come upon them and that they will choose Christ today to follow you for the rest of their life. Now let's all pray this prayer together. And if you're concerned about your spiritual walk and you're not sure where you will spend eternity, say these words with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for forgiveness. Cleanse me and wash me in the blood. Forgive me of all my sins. I will follow you. I receive your forgiveness. I can't remember all my sins. I just give them all to you. Forgive me and wash me, Lord. I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We love you. Have a wonderful day. Those of you that can help us pray tonight, come back, worship with us, and pray. Hallelujah.